Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10 o'clock and the hearing is now open. I hope that everyone can hear me. If you're unable to do so, then please let me know. If you're going to be speaking, then I'm going to be asking you to use the microphones so that we can make sure that everyone can hear what you're saying. My name is Heidi Cruikshank and I've been appointed by the Secretary of State to examine the A30 Chiverton to Carling Cross scheme. I'd like to introduce just my colleagues who are with us. So I have Mr. Jake Stevens at the back, and Ms. Sean Evans will be joining us shortly. She's just outside on a phone call at the moment. If anyone wishes to follow on access documents online, then they are available, and there is a public access here, public internet, and the code is Malpass Road, capital M, capital R, and Road just RD. Just some housekeeping matters in terms of fire exits. I'm not aware that there are going to be any fire alarm tests today, and therefore if there is an alarm, then you need to leave by the exits either there or there, which is where the toilets are, or the door here where we came in. So this hearing relates to the draft development consent order. I think it's unlikely that we will run right to lunchtime, but I'll see how we're doing on time in terms of whether we need to take a break at a particular time in mid-session. If you do need to stretch your legs, then please feel free to do so. Just try not to make too much noise whilst you're leaving and going to and from the room. If we do take a break, then in the interest of openness and fairness to all parties, I would appreciate it if you'd not attempt to engage me in any form of conversation during adjournments. I'm not being unfriendly, just that I cannot engage in private conversation with just one party. I should mention that I'm staying in the hotel where I understand a number of Highways England representatives are also staying, and it may be that others are staying also. Obviously, I'm not having any interaction with any parties in that hotel. I just want to make sure that everyone is happy that I'm keeping my distance. So in terms of using the microphone, it is important that you understand that you will be recorded, and that means you consent to the retention and publication of the recording. We'd only ask for information for the public record that is relevant to the decision. And to avoid the need to edit recordings, please do not say something that should be private or confidential. Such matters can be provided to us in writing. As we're recording the session, then when you speak, please could you introduce yourself each time so that it's clear on the recording who is talking. I would say that I'm not going to introduce myself every time. I suspect you'll all get bored of my voice anyway, so that's fine. Can I ask if anyone is intending to film or record the inquiry or make use of social media themselves? So just to make you aware that I believe Highways England are recording into the room next door, and that's the what they can see next door. That is just so that they can follow what's happening and resolve any issues as things go along. So as long as you're all aware of that. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's all there is in terms of introduction, and I just ask if there are any questions in relation to the procedures, or we'll go straight on into the agenda. You're all happy. So what I'd like to do is just to ask of the people around the table if they could just introduce themselves, and if there is anyone who's sitting in the back rows that knows that they may want to speak, then please do come forward. There are seats at the table with microphones available. So perhaps if we could just go around the room, I'll start on this side and we'll just run around and introduce so everyone knows who's present. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Ben Kernow from Cornwall Council's Legal Services. And behind me, my colleague Chris Daly, who's our planning lead. Next to Chris Daly, my colleague Vanessa Davis.
Good morning. I'm Rick Clayton for Cornwall Council Highways Department.
Good morning, madam. Colin is from Shepherd and Wedderburn, representing Scottish Power Renewables. I'm accompanied by Stephanie Mill of Shepherd and Wedderburn and instructed by Angus Armstrong of Scottish Power Renewables Legal.
Good morning. I'm Patrick Aubrey Fletcher from National Farmers Union, County Advisor in Cornwall.
Good morning, Madam. Julian Boswell of Burgess Salmon Solicitors representing Highways England. On my left is David Grattan of Arup, who are the lead consultants working on this project for Highways England. To my right is John Arthur of Burgess Salmon, and behind me is Josh Hodder, the project manager for Highways England, and other members of the Highways England and Arup team.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So just in terms of going through the agenda, what I'd like to do, we are working so that we're clear to draft document revision C is the latest that has been submitted to me, and I'm aware that there may have been some changes subsequent to that. So what I'd like to do is to ask the applicant to just run us through the where we are on the DCO at present in relation to what's before us, and what may be coming forward. So if I can ask you to do that, Mr. Boswell, or Mr. Arthur, as appropriate.
Madam, Julian Boswell for Highways England. In terms of the agenda invites us to take you through the changes that have already been submitted, and we're sort of prepared and happy to do that. In addition to that, and I was going to ask when, as it were, the best time to do it would be, as is often the way, there are certain sort of smallish points that are emerging from ongoing discussions with different parties, some of which will, if they crystallize, have expression in some tweaks to the DCO and to related plans, and some of which, as part of that sort of package, will have or may have changes to the compulsory acquisition position as well, which is obviously the subject of this afternoon's hearing. So I'm in your hands as to how you want me to play that. Just to be clear, we aren't making formal requests in relation to those changes today, and we would expect for some or all of them to be in a position to do that as part of the next deadline, which is the 24th of April. We don't think any of these changes is going to be particularly controversial, but obviously we haven't quite got to the crystallization of all of them. And so if it would be helpful to give you a quick run through as to what I'm alluding to, I can happily do that. Or do it any other way that you would wish.
I think, given that we have got further hearings coming forward in the next couple of days, it would be helpful to know where we are in terms of emerging plans. If you can be clear where anything is definite that has already occurred and where things are still emerging and may, that might be the best way to go forward. And is there going to be a sort of table of changes? Is there something?
There will be in due course, but yeah. We aren't yet. There's always a judgment call as to when we bring this to your attention, on the basis that if we bring it too early, then you necessarily ask us questions and we can't quite answer them because we haven't got to that point. But then if we leave it too late, you're sitting there thinking, why didn't they mention that sooner? So, yeah. So we've kind of got a running list, which we thought on balance we should. One of which relates to Scottish Power Renewables, so I think it would make sense. Obviously, you're obviously well aware that that's underway. I think it would make sense to give you a brief update, and we've had a prior discussion with Mr. Innes about that this morning. And then others are different points that are at slightly different stages in terms of emerging.
Okay, I think that would be helpful just so that we can all know where we are, so thank you.
So perhaps we should start with Scottish Power, if that's okay. So obviously you're aware that we put in a position statement in advance of a previous hearing. Subsequent to that, the focus of attention has been on resolving the sort of technical issues, and I believe that you had what amounted to a sort of factual update of that on the accompanied site visit, where certain points were explained to you, I wasn't there, as to where factually that this debate has ended up or is close to ending up. In parallel to that, there has been a discussion on the what will be a private side agreement between Highways England and Scottish Power Renewables, and that is making good progress but still has some way to go. The other strand, or the potential strand, is whether or not there will be protective provisions, and that's still sort of for discussion. So our position is that we are relatively neutral on that. We're happy to include them if Scottish Power want them, but on the face of it, the reality is that the real detail is in the side agreement. And then necessarily there will be some tweaks to the DCO and some tweaks to plans, and we're conscious that we need to make a formal application to you to ask to make those changes, which we think we will be doing on a non-material amendment basis. And the final strand I should mention is the freeholder. Scottish Power Renewables are a leaseholder, but the freeholder needs to be in the mix and is aware of these discussions, but is adopting the approach of waiting until things are fully agreed with Scottish Power before being played in. So I think in a perfect world, we might have been a bit further forward than we are, but I think it's fair to say that we fully expect there to be a happy ending, and for us to come forward with a finalised sort of package. Our expectation is that in any event, we would give you a pretty full update at the next deadline, because we're conscious of time passing, and that would either include the definitive plans that we are asking to be changed, or it would include indicative plans if they haven't quite been finalised, because we feel it's only fair on you that you've got a clear heads up as to what exactly the changes are that we are talking about, and that we would, as part of that submission, we would explain what we were asking of you procedurally at that point in time, in terms of balancing, obviously, the expected end date of the examination and the need for others to be aware of what's happening, to the extent that they might be interested, though, to our knowledge, apart potentially, I guess, from Cornwall Council, there aren't really any other, and the landowner, there aren't really any other parties in the mix that we're aware of. So I think that's a sort of the kind of summary that I had in mind. Happy to take any questions, but it might be sensible for you to hear from Mr. Innes first, just to see if he's got anything to add to that.
Mr. Innes, I just want to ask if that does reflect where your position and how that is for you.
Yes, Madam, it reflects our position, and I think it is right that we have focused on the technical aspects because they follow through into the relevant plans, and so that's where the focus has been in this first phase. But we do recognise the importance of actually now progressing on to getting the matter finalised through a legal agreement and also potentially protective provisions, but we won't know until we've resolved the issues in the legal agreement, the extent to which we may need protective provisions as well. So that is a relationship that we haven't actually finalised yet, but we appreciate the importance of making real progress now that we've essentially resolved the overarching technical issues, and that will be the priority. And we certainly think and agree with Highways England that it's important that by the next deadline that plans are submitted to you so that you understand the extent to which those technical issues are resolved and changes, even if they aren't finalised ones, they'll be very close to it. And again, we agree but the approach that's been advocated.
So in terms of timing, it sounds like you are both looking at deadline 3, which is our next deadline. You would be in a position to give me more detail at that stage. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I think what we'll do is I will make that one of the hearing outcomes that I'll be looking for as a formal part of the hearing outcomes, so that we, timescale-wise, know that we're not going to, as you say, get left behind and find ourselves at the end of the examination trying to resolve matters that should have been dealt with at an earlier stage. So thank you for that. So, Mr. Boswell, is there anything else you can help us through?
I think there are four other things to take you through. I'm proposing to do that sort of quite quickly, and it may be that two or three of them you might want to pick up in a bit more detail at the compulsory acquisition hearing this afternoon, but just to give you and everybody else an indication of these other sort of topics and potential tweaks. So there are two examples where landowners have asked if we can revisit whether we need to take a full freehold acquisition of parts of the proposal and whether we could accept a variation in approach in terms of having temporary rights to carry out permanent works. And in one instance, we have agreed to that in principle, and in another, we are, that is a pretty clear direction of travel, but the discussion hasn't got as far as in the first instance. And as I say, it may make more sense that we go to plans in relation to that, and we're sort of lining up to do that this afternoon, if that would assist you. And so in terms of the DCO side of things, that may reflect itself, or would reflect itself at minimum, in different revision numbers to land plans potentially and or definitely. There's an ongoing discussion on a statement of common ground with Historic England, and one of the things that has emerged from that is that they would welcome a proposal from us in relation to providing a viewing point to take advantage of a particular view that has historic sort of significance, or in terms of appreciating the heritage value at that location. And so we are looking at, so that would involve a short bit of path and preparing an area where people would be able to stand, and there would be some kind of explanatory board to help them appreciate what it was that they were looking at. And so we are now looking at the sort of, so we have a good indication of the location that we're talking about, and then it's a question of exactly how do we do that and then put that in front of you as a proposal, having agreed it with Highways England. So that was that point. And then the final one on my list to mention is in relation to a telecom mast owned or operated by EE, which when we show you where it is, you will see that it's definitely moving, because it would otherwise be in the middle of the carriageway. But there's been a delay in terms of resolving where it's moving to. And so we've been, I'm instructed that we have been waiting for EE to sort of take a position on that. They have now done that. And so we are working through the, I think, relatively unexciting point about moving it 60 metres from its current location to another location that would be right next to the new carriageway, that would be on land owned by the same freeholder, where in terms of land interests we would go from being in a freehold acquisition plot to an existing plot within the red line that has various rights being granted to the self-same landowner, and to replicate the arrangements that he has for the existing location, we would in effect be replicating those arrangements for his benefit in the new location. And so that is the direction of travel on that. So in a perfect world, that would have been resolved before we submitted, but as part of the whole slew of different statutory undertaker changes, that was one that wasn't possible to resolve at the point of submission. In terms of anybody else in the vicinity, there isn't anybody else, we believe, in the vicinity that's likely to have an opinion or I guess an adverse opinion or concern about that 60 metre relocation of the mast, and we have asked ourselves that question. And when this comes to you in writing, we will obviously address, you'll be able to see where it is, and we'll obviously be able to address that side of things.
In relation to that matter, is that again something that we're looking at by the next deadline, or is that a longer period?
Well, I think it would be prudent for us to be giving you as much as we can on each of those matters by the next deadline. And then it will be a question of whether they've crystallised enough to make them into formal requests for changes or not. I think that's where we're at. So I'd be disappointed if some of them weren't pretty fully crystallised in 3 weeks' time, because the clock is ticking and we need to get on. But to the extent that that doesn't happen, it will just more be about the mechanics of relating to different people, with one possible exception, than any fundamental issues, I think, with what we're proposing.
Okay. Certainly in terms of the Historic England point, when I was on site yesterday, they were pointing out roughly where, because I wasn't quite clear, and I said to them on site, I'd seen their question that they'd asked, and it wasn't quite clear to me whether they were saying that they wanted a view from New Lynn Downs or to New Lynn Downs, so that was clarified out on site yesterday, so right. I'm sort of aware of where we're talking about there. Just you were talking about changes to land plans. When I was preparing for this hearing, I was looking, trying to get the up-to-date, so we had more recent land plans which were part of the additional submissions. We've now got land plan sheets which haven't been changed, so original sheets which haven't been changed, plus some sheets which have been changed. And it's difficult to see them all as one thing. So if I could ask when a further submission is made, if they could all come in together so that I have a full set rather than having to insert and work out, well, this one hasn't changed and that one has. And it just means that everything's kept together. So that would be helpful. Okay. Can I ask if there is anyone around the table in relation to the points which have just been raised, whether there are any questions that anyone feels that need to be clarified in relation to those matters? Are you all content that you know what's happening? Okay, thank you. So just in relation to the statements of common ground, I have to say that, thank you, there seems to have been some good progress in relation to those. What I would like to ask, and this goes for not just those with whom you have statements of common ground, but also for the statutory undertakers in general, I think it would be helpful if we could have a table put together of where all those are. So the statements of common ground, whether they're agreed or not agreed yet, how far they are, whether they're complete. I'm not necessarily saying by deadline three, I'll give that some thought. It may be by the next deadline that will make more sense.
Madam, Julian Boswell for Highways England. We already have such a table, and Mr. Grattan is all ready to go to briefly take you through that, if you would find that helpful.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you. So if we could do that then.
Good morning. David Grattan on behalf of Highways England. We submitted a document at deadline two entitled Statements of Common Ground. I think section three of that provided an update on where we were with each party and outlines those with whom we are entering a statement of common ground with.
Mr. Grattan, can I just check that that's Rep 2017, is that correct?
Yes, Rep 2017, correct. So that provides a summary update. As Mr. Boswell's outlined, progress has been made, so I will just do the brief highlights from that section. So with Cornwall Council, a statement of common ground was submitted at deadline one. We are continuing to review the matters which are outstanding. That will then be updated to reflect the comments on the local impact report, which were prepared at deadline two. And a meeting is scheduled with Cornwall Council on the 25th of April to discuss the matters outstanding and the response to the local impact report. So that's the position with Cornwall Council. Natural England, the statement of common ground with them was signed with all matters agreed. That was submitted at deadline two. The reference for that document is REP2-018. That was signed by both parties on the 18th of March. And an Appendix D of that document includes the letters of no impediment for the draft bat and badger license applications. The next party is Historic England, which has been mentioned as one of the potential changes this morning. We issued a detailed response to the written representation to Historic England on the 19th of March. A meeting to review that response was held with them the 25th of March, and an updated statement of common ground will be issued to Historic England today following the site inspections early in the week. So it is expected that a draft statement of common ground will be submitted to you at deadline three, with a signed version then at deadline five, given some of the work that's ongoing. The next statutory consultee is an environment agency. A statement of common ground was signed with all matters agreed with them at deadline two. The reference for that statement of common ground is REP2-019. That was signed by both parties on the 13th of March. And as I alluded to, all matters are agreed and nothing is outstanding on that. Moving on to interested parties, with Nancarrow Farm, a statement of common ground was requested with them. Nancarrow Farm submitted that to the Director Inspector at deadline two. We have been reviewing the text that's been added to that. So a meeting was held on the 20th of March to discuss the draft statement of common ground. A teleconference has also been held on the 29th of March to discuss the draft statement of common ground further, and a legal agreement as a mechanism to secure some of the commitments outlined within that statement of common ground. A draft of that legal agreement was, a private legal agreement was issued to Nancarrow Farm on the 2nd of April. And the statement of common ground with Nancarrow Farm will be submitted at deadline three. The next part is Truro Cycling Campaign. So since deadline two, a meeting was held with them on the 20th of March. The draft statement of common ground has been updated and as of yesterday has been signed by both parties. And that statement of common ground will be submitted at deadline three, although I imagine that will be probably discussed further tomorrow or alluded to. The next party would be the National Farmers Union. So that statement of common ground is in draft. That was submitted to the examination at deadline two. A number of matters within the statement of common ground were for further review and confirmation by the NFU, including checking with some of their members. So it was felt to be helpful to submit that working draft to the examination, but we'll continue to review some of those matters with the National Farmers Union. And as part of that, we hope to issue them with the outline soil management plan, which is part of that ongoing discussion. So that'll be going to them this week. So we'll continue to engage with and review those matters with the NFU and possibly try and revisit a date for an update to that statement of common ground. It's unlikely to be deadline three, but we can aim for that. And then last but not least, the other statement of common ground, which is in draft, is the one with St. Alan Parish Council. Since deadline two, a draft of that was issued to the chair and the clerk of the parish council. It is understood that the parish council are reviewing the statement of common ground next week, and following that, a meeting will be held with Highways England to discuss that further. So it's hoped that we'll be able to submit that at deadline three. So that's a sort of list of the statements of common ground which are currently in draft or have been submitted to the examination.
Thank you, Mr. Grattan. So then, following on from those, what I'm looking for is the statutory undertaker's position. So that's what I'm not sure whether we have a table already being drawn up for that, just to understand where we have statements of common ground, where they have no issues arising, or where there are matters still going forward. So.
Yes, Madam. Julian Boswell for Highways England. There are two statutory undertakers where there are ongoing discussions, but they're not going to lead to statements of common ground. They're intended to lead to either agreed protective provisions or agreed protective provisions with private side agreements. And they are with South West Water and with Western Power Distribution. None of the other statutory undertakers has come back indicating, some haven't meaningfully come back at all, and others have come back indicating that they're content with the protective provisions on offer, which is a range of telecoms companies in essence. And so, as things stand at the moment, unless something changes from their side, we are not expecting to have any further engagement with those other statutory undertakers, because they haven't put in representations, making objections or raising issues. But we will be continuing to engage with Western Power Distribution. We are having some difficulty with South West Water in terms of their responsiveness, i.e. we've sent them substantive material as long ago as December, and despite repeated chasing, we still haven't got a substantive response back. So I think that's the only party where we are sort of struggling at the moment in that respect.
I think my concern is that from the Secretary of State's point of view, you'll be aware that statutory undertakers can be a particular issue. And so what I want to be clear on is their positions. So where you have something in writing from them saying we're not concerned, then let's put that down so that I'm clear where I can find that. If you don't have that, perhaps chase it and make sure that we have something, some evidence basically, that things are as they should be. And where you're having difficulties with South West Water, then keep engaging, and if it needs be that something further needs to happen from my end to try and move things along, then I'll see what I can do. But I need to be clear that the statutory undertakers have all been covered and that all the issues that we need to deal with there are being dealt with. So if that can be tabled, that will probably be the easiest way for us to be clear where we've got anything outstanding. Does that make sense?
Yes, we can certainly submit a suitable table at the next deadline to give you an update at that point in time. I think the only point I would make regarding, I think the strict legal position is that unless they have made, if they haven't made an objection, then I think the system does assume that they are content because they've had every opportunity. But I accept that if they have made a representation or an objection, then that does then give rise to a need to resolve whatever those points are, and that is the approach that we're adopting. But I fully understand that you want the comfort of knowing exactly where we and you therefore stand in relation to each of those entities.
I think just even if in the table it says no objection, no further comment, then that's fine, but we just need to be quite clear on all those parties.
Will do.
Thank you. Can I ask whether there's anyone around the table, particularly yourself, Mr. Audrey Fletcher, in terms of what you've heard in relation to the Statement of Common Ground? Are there any comments that you wish to make? Are you being directly involved with that, or is it being led more by Ms. Staples?
Sorry, madam. Yes, Louise Staples does send her apologies today, but she's elsewhere, so I am standing in for her, but she has briefed me. There were a number of matters that, if the opportunity arose, I would like just to highlight today, based on the Statement of Common Ground, if that was feasible.
Go through those now, and then we can see what we need to deal with.
Thank you very much. So, looking at the table as set out, make sure we've got the right date. So this is draft 2, dated the 18th of the 3rd.
Are you able to just confirm, anyone, the whether this is a document I have, and if so, what the number is that I can find it in? Is it the one that's within Rep 2017, or is it a later version?
Correct, Madam Devigratton, on behalf of Highways England, it's appended to Rep 2017,
so it's appendix A.
Appendix A.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Grattan. Thank you. Then I have it in front of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Patrick Aubrey Fletcher from the National Farmers Union. So the one matter has been agreed, which is in connection with the limits of deviation. Although we've accepted that in principle, we are encouraging our individual members to look at that, just to ensure that it doesn't create any difficulties for them on an individual basis. So then looking at adjacent land, we still have some concern around the definition of adjacent land and the implications, again, that can have on individual farmers in their day-to-day operations, because although the DCMO designation and scheme area might be defined, if that is going to be exceeded, we have reference to at least 14 days notice before entering. Again, that's something that we would encourage further clarification on where practical. And if that's not feasible at this particular stage, some means whereby, as the scheme develops, some process could be put in place to ensure that we don't have a situation where the contractor is asking for access at very quick notice. And then as far as the private water supply, so 3.1, we haven't yet seen a draft of the CEMP, so that's something we would like to see, but in Cornwall, private water supplies are very common, and this scheme could have a major impact on that type of supply. So we would like to see further details as soon as possible to ensure that members' businesses aren't damaged by loss of supply. Sorry. So 4.1. The temporary possession. So we have moved on this, in as much that we were asking for a 3-month period of notice of possession, and a proposal has been put forward to increase the current 14-day period to a 28-day period, which we do accept, but we do feel that it would be helpful actually to make that a minimum of 28 days. So that it shouldn't just be a set target, but effectively we're asking for as much notice as possible and a minimum of 28 days. because again that can have an impact on a farm business if possession is taken at very short notice. So then hedgerow 5.1, we understand that the current plans are only indicative. We would like, where possible, some more detail as and when that's available, but also particularly around when the establishment period will run out and whether that's going to be a fixed period of time or whether it'll be reviewed on an individual basis once the scheme has been built, because we would understand that landowners, occupiers would then take on responsibility, and would like clarification on as to what period, over what time the establishment period is, and what is the trigger for the transfer of responsibility. Site compounds 6.1. We've had some description as to the use of the site compounds. From personal experience on other schemes, these can be a major issue for landowners when the land is returned. We would ask that we have further description as to what the potential uses are, because the legacy from a site compound can be very long lasting, and the potential uses at the moment are only described as being for washings and sweepings, but clearly compaction and other damage can be incurred onto that land, this can be a difficulty for many years after the scheme has been completed. So moving to soil management 7.1, again a major challenge for farmers when the scheme has been completed, and soil survey, an undertaking has been given, the soil survey will be undertaken prior to entry, so that soil can be returned as close as possible to its condition before the scheme was built. As we're all very aware, soil and its management is a very topical issue at the moment, and what we don't want is land adjacent to the scheme being detrimental for the farm business. So the whole question of spoil heaps and aftercare to return to its original state is critical, and particularly this is relevant for Nankari Farm, which is an organic farm, and I haven't seen their statement of common ground, but I understand that they particularly asked that their topsoil is retained and separated so that it's available for them as in as organic a status as it can be, rather than being mixed and then potentially losing its organic status. Field drainage, I think we just need to see further details of the scheme and how that is going to be covered in the outline CEMP. 9 agricultural liaison officer. We would hope that the agricultural liaison officer would have previous knowledge of schemes and have experience in liaising with farmers. So it's somebody who understood and was able to discuss with farmers their concerns with a level of understanding that could then be passed on to the contractor and Highways England, rather than somebody who maybe didn't have that background knowledge. So we would ask for that to be noted. Jumping to 11.1 and the Green Bridge. This, as we know, has caused some concern for Nancarrow Farm. Although we have moved and now it does provide agricultural access, so subject to agreeing weights for agricultural vehicles to travel over it, we have made progress. There is one sentence in there that is causing us concern, which is the final sentence in 11.1, whereby it says any agricultural animal health and biosecurity risks to the farm would need to be investigated and resolved by the farm. We think that is unreasonable. This additional biosecurity risk and potential animal health issues are coming about because of the Green Bridge. So there's not currently a wildlife corridor across the current carriageway. So this is something that is being created by the scheme. And therefore, we feel it's not reasonable that those risks should be transferred onto the landowner at this stage. And we would hope that that would be carried out in partnership and solutions found. So 12 utilities. We're currently unclear as to whether or not there are jointing boxes on individual members' farms. Jointing bays on individual members' farms. So we would ask for clarification on that. And ensure that individual farmers are made aware of their presence and how best to ensure that they don't interfere any more than they should do with future agricultural operations. Uh, 14 on flooding issues. Again, a major concern or potential major concern during the construction period and afterwards. And again, through personal experience on previous schemes, this can be a legacy that landowners have to live with. So really details of haul roads and other drainage schemes to be reviewed in the outline CMP. As quickly as possible so that we can talk to individual landowners to get their input. And then I think finally, the question of the Chewbacca Junction. As is well known, a number of local businesses have serious concerns over the lack of the east-facing slip roads and the question of making the road fit for future use and expansion, and particularly Calistic Farms, as NFU members I know have made strong representations to ask you to review that and ensure that if practical that the east-facing slip roads could be included The landowner I know, who is an NFU member, is willing to release that land because he believes it's an important feature. So I think from his perspective, he doesn't see it as being a major detriment to his farm business. And therefore, we would ask you to have a very close look at that proposal that the east-facing slip road should be included at this stage, rather than coming back at a later date and possibly wanting to add to the scheme in the future. Thank you, madam.
Thank you. So just a couple of points arising from that that I'd like to follow up. Firstly, in relation to the limits of deviation, you've mentioned that you're relatively content with where things now, but you're asking individual members to take a look. Would that be something I can say that we could have by deadline 3, so we know if there are any problems going forward in particular locations?
Yes, madam, I would accept that, yeah.
Thank you. In relation to, so there are a number of matters where you've referred to the outline SEMP and have said that you're waiting to see an update on that in order to take things forward. So I'm going to ask Highways England if they can just advise us on the position in relation to that and timescales, please.
David Grattan on behalf of Highways England. Yes, a number of matters were referred to there, both within the draft statement of common ground with regards to an update being made to the outline construction environmental management plan. That's currently scheduled to be submitted at deadline 3. Just picking up on some of the points that have been raised by the NFU, that will include some of the further details that have been requested. And in particular, a outline soil management plan will be part of that updated version, so that will be ready for deadline 3. With regards to the soil management plan, specifically, we've agreed to share that in draft with the NFU in advance of deadline 3, so that they can review and comment in advance of that being submitted. I can also allude to the fact that agricultural liaison officer is going to be included within that updated outline KEMP based on some of the information which the NFU have provided. Yes, and I think that's some of the main points that will be addressed within that updated outline KEMP. And then in relation to the issue of the east-facing slips at Chibucca Junction, which were referred to, that was obviously mentioned yesterday evening with regards to a statement being submitted by that landowner, and we will review that and respond to that in due course. An outline of Highways England's positions in the draft statement of common ground at the moment, but if anything further is put forward, we will respond to that in due course.
Thank you. Can I check with Cornwall Council, sorry, if there's anything further coming out from what you've heard from the NFU? You're happy. Okay. So. Thank you. So in terms of I know that one of the matters that was specifically raised the last time from the NFU was to do with the discharge of requirements and conditions. And I just want to check that that is now in hand. You're feeling that the Statement of Common Ground is dealing with that, and you're content that there's nothing further that I need to know at this stage?
Yes, Patrick Aubrey Fletcher from NFU. Yes, madam, we accept that, yeah.
Thank you. Can I ask if there is anyone else who has issues that I need to be aware of in terms of discharge of requirements and conditions? No. Moving on then, just a specific question I had, and this arose from I believe it was the Historic England, and it was to do with the width of the A30 as it passed a Bulbarrow and reduction, and it was an agreement of reduction in width. So Highways England and Cornwall Council confirmed reducing existing road width, so that's the existing A30, from the current width of 7.2 metres to the minimum requirement of 6.8 metres. And apologies, I was a little unclear whether that was within the revision C draft that I have or whether that's a matter that's still to come forward. Can I just check that that's being dealt with somewhere?
It's John Arthur of Highways England, madam. The answer is no, it's not in the draft DCO. The intention is that there's going to be an agreement between Highways England and Cornwall Council that will sit outside of the DCO that will secure a number of works to the existing A30, including reductions in width.
Thank you for that. Are there any other matters that anyone wishes to raise in relation to the draft DCO? Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to take an adjournment and just have a look at the matters that have come forward in terms of where I want us to go forward from here and the matters that I'm going to be expecting coming as a result of this hearing. So if I can say, take me about 20 minutes, if I say till about 20 past 11, you can all have a cup of coffee. So, all right, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen, just adjourn.